So things are about to get a little scary. Now, we're going to invite all the elders up, and we're going to sit on stools, and we're going to tell stories. And I learned stories about Creekside Bible Church this week that I never knew. And so I said on Facebook, this is going to be kind of an elder panel. I honestly don't know how we're doing this right now, so just fasten your seat belts. No doubt, just kind of... I just know we're sitting on stools and somebody needs microphones, and this is Texas, so we love our personal space here in Texas, but we're going to try. Sitting in New York City at a table crammed with people, and I looked across at the girl and said, "You don't value personal space here much, do you?" And she said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Texas." She said, "That's what I thought." We don't have personal space here. So, does everybody have a mic?
Jeff will have one momentarily.
Jeff will have a mic. So this is what we're doing. Creekside Bible Church is right now facing some of our days of the greatest opportunity and greatest challenge. And I think that's the way life works. I think with the greatest opportunities comes the greatest challenge. Your lives tell that story. The life of this church tells the story. And so we're going to tell the story of Creekside Bible Church. Many of you know it. I'm looking around the room. There's at least one couple here that was here from day one. Day two?
No, I'm
sorry. Oh, day one. Two people, one couple, two couples. Okay, I don't understand, but at least, and I'll just tell this story real quick. Rick was off flying, and I believe he came home from a trip and was told by his wife, "We have a new church."
she said, "We're going to visit a new church."
We're visiting a new church. And the rest, as they say, is history. So Rick could come and tell stories too. But as we tell the story, we're telling it really for you to see three things. The history of Creekside Bible Church, there are three things that stand out, that are going to stand out as we talk. Vision and goals that seemed impossible, insurmountable, really. Number two, opportunities that were just thrust upon us that we weren't looking for, that were far bigger than our ability to handle. And thirdly, difficulties and tragedies that could have caused despair or even giving up. So we're going to tell stories. The church is never the same. Even if you've been here a while, you look around, you say, there's people that don't know the story. So we're going to tell stories. I learned stories this week. And many of these stories you're going to hear are going to have one of these three things: insurmountable obstacles, huge vision, difficulty, tragedy, all of which can become the defining moments of your life. So we're going to start with the one who probably has the greatest amount of history, because he goes back... not with the church. I'm not saying he's old or anything. I'm not saying he's not. No, because as he is about to tell, go ahead, Jeff. I'll be quiet.
A long time ago in a galaxy far away, Alan Bryant was looking at this area on behalf of another church, looking for places that we might plant a church. I joined him in that effort. Out here in this area, we canvassed the entire area, discovered that there were a few good older churches, but not much here other than that. And no church of our ilk at all who emphasizes, I'm not saying the others don't, but that emphasizes grace and truth. We decided to recommend, or Alan especially decided to recommend to the elders of that other church, that a church be planted in this area, and they went forward with that. I was still an associate pastor at the other church. At the time, I was teaching, had been for, you know, centuries, a Bible study, and we were going through world religions. And I fell in love with Islam as a group of people that desperately needed the gospel. And I had the opportunity to go to Kazakhstan and teach the truth of the Bible to some Muslim background new Christians. And I said, this is for me. The church said, nah, we'll send you wherever we want to go, but God was saying, you need to go to the Muslims. So I decided to retire from that church and to seek my passion for the Muslims. I just moved to this part of the area, and it seemed logical that I ought to go to the church and visit where I had helped, was instrumental in helping to get it going. So I came here and shared over a little period of time my vision with the church, and they enthusiastically supported the mission that I was going to. I joined East West and started going in various places. In the midst of this, the church reached one of its major first crises. We were looking at hiring a worship pastor, and we thought we had found the perfect one. We offered him a job in faith. He had already found a job somewhere else, turned us down. The pastor became discouraged and decided it was time to fold up. In the midst of that, I lost my wife. The week after I lost my wife, the pastor quit, recommended to the elders that that we just fold up and go home. The elders, including Rick here, Albert, and I prayed about it and decided that's not what God was recommending us to do. So we decided to go on in the face of great difficulty. One of the results of that is my ministry not only was enthusiastically supported, but the church decided to financially support me. And my ministry expanded to first to young Muslim background Christian leaders. I taught the Bible along with another very trusted associate. We did that for several years, and then my ministry morphed into doing four fields training, which is a training in evangelism to reach the people around you for Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful tool which we will probably be introducing around here in the near future. But we, through this church, this little bitty church, we reached Kazakhs, Uzbeks, Turkmens, Iranians, Georgians, Armenians, Turks, and Kurds for Jesus Christ, and taught them how to share the gospel with their neighbors. This little church was participant in some church house churches being formed in Tehran. This church was instrumental in sending me to a class where we had Turks, Kurds, Muslim background, North Caucasus Russians, Azeris. We had an international crowd. And in that class, I saw a couple of Turks and a couple of Kurds hug each other. If you don't know what that means, they are mortal enemies. And only the power of the gospel can do this. And this church, with the decision to go on, was participating in this ministry. So we went through one of our big times, and then we went on. And the rest of the story is going to be told elsewhere here.
I think as you think about what we're going through today and what we're sharing today, the slide that we put up here, remembrance stones. What do we mean by remembrance stones? In the book of Joshua, the Israelites were coming into the promised land. And as you see here from Joshua chapter 4, Joshua said to the people, he said, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So I get the opportunity this morning to lead us through some PowerPoint slides. This is kind of what memorial stones have turned into in the 21st century. It's, you know, there's good things, there's not so good things, but this is one of the ways that we as a body get to look back and see thus far has God taken us, and by that we know that God is faithful and he will take us into the future. So I'm going to start, we've already started the very brief history of Creekside, and I'm going to take us back to that moment in time that Jeff referred to. We started attending Creekside when we moved back from overseas in 2007. And all of that we're talking about here happened in the 2006 to 2009, 2010 timeframe. So Jeff's already mentioned, you know, we had a worship leader, we had a pastor at the time, and through that whole circumstance, series of events, in 2 weeks, we lost Joanne, and then our worship leader took another job, and just almost without warning, we didn't even know he was looking to leave. He just said, I'm not going to be there Sunday or any Sunday in the future. And so we were like, oh, very nice, okay. And then the next week, of course, the pastor, being very discouraged, announced that he was resigning. And so the elders gathered together, you know, God, what are you doing? What is this it for Creekside? You know, some of the people that were here were encouraged, just go find another church. And so we're thinking, is this it? Is this all God had for Creekside? And very clearly, we got a sense that no, this isn't it. Now let me take you to a bit of a diversion here, just briefly. When I was growing up, when we moved into the house that I grew up in, I was probably maybe 5 years old, and my dad went out and he bought a couple of, anybody know what these are? Mulberry trees. So we had two mulberry saplings that my dad planted in the backyard, dug the hole, put it in. Yeah, we participated in it to the point that we could. And then mulberry trees in the backyard. Water them, you know, plant those. You remember the plant stakes that you would hammer into the ground around the plants? And did everything we could for these mulberry trees. One of them, the one on the left, flourished. It grew nice and tall and spread its branches. The one on the right started out okay, and then it kind of sputtered and all the leaves fell off, and we said, oh, that's dead. So my dad went out with a saw and he cut it off about half an inch to the ground. Well, there was still a stump sticking out of the ground. He didn't like that. So he went out and he got a big hammer and he pounded that stump into the ground till it was below ground level. Done, dusted. One mulberry tree in the backyard. Until the next spring. And then the weirdest looking tree you ever seen started coming up out of the ground. It had one branch going off this way, one branch going off this way. In my growing up, that was my favorite tree to climb because it was so easy to get into and you could just be up in the branches and there was no trunk to deal with. So what am I saying with all of this? Wow. That is the tree from Thursday. I had my brother take a picture of it and send it to me. pretty good looking tree. So I was reminded this week that God is the gardener. God makes the trees grow. And even when a tree looks like there is no life in it, that can happen. So from stump to building is kind of the next section of Creekside's history. And the first part of it, Jeff didn't mention this, but when the church started in Ford Elementary School, right? I think it was Ford. And so by the time we got here, the church had moved to where the Burger King is now. We met in a Burger King. Actually, we met in a community center that was where the Burger King is now. Then they decided to tear down the community center and put a Burger King in, so we had to leave. We moved to Kaufman Elementary, and then after a while at Kaufman, we moved to Tom Cox Intermediate School, which is where we were before we moved into this building. So Tom Cox Intermediate School was your typical school. We met in the cafeteria. What you're seeing here was one of the early services, backs of heads. You may recognize one or two people. But this is what it looked like. We'd get to the church every Sunday morning. We'd set up signs. We'd set up chairs. And we'd worship. And then, you know, setting up and taking down is, those of you that haven't done that, it wears on you. It really does. So anybody remember this? Yes, I hear some people with great fondness remembering.
Some people are actually breaking down the house.
That's right. So,
control your breathing,
everyone. So Portable Church Industries had a church in a box, essentially. And so some of you that are newer to the church may wonder why we've got a box that says 15 and a box that says 9 sitting over here in the corner. Those are numbers so that we knew how to load the trailer. All the boxes had to go in a certain order, had to come off the trailer in a certain order. So the sound system that you're seeing here, 15, that was the second to last box that went on the trailer. And we did that for a long time. And we've got some pictures of what that looked like. You know, this was a challenge, but we had, you know, God sent the laborers to the harvest in this case. You see Dan and Isaac working diligently on the soundboard. You see some familiar faces back in the children's ministry, right, Christopher? And so that was Creekside as we met at a school. During that time, Jeff has already mentioned some of the work that he was able to do with East West. You know, some of the international mission work that we did. As we thought this week about the history of Creekside, there were also a couple of really neat things. Two of which I have pictures. One of which Dean can probably add a little bit more to. But the youth group and several of the adults in the church had the opportunity to go to Austin with Group Missions Week of Hope. And we went up to kind of North Austin, Leander area, and did some ministry for some folks that desperately, desperately needed it. I can remember one week we were helping coordinate the preparation for a vacation Bible school that met in a single wide trailer out in the sticks in the hill country. And kids would come, barefoot kids would come from miles around to have the free lunch and hear about Jesus. And it was amazing. Others have similar stories from the projects that they worked on. Very, very amazing time. Spread Truth, you see that up there? Before I go there, Week of Hope. That was, it's interesting because the theme for one of the weeks that we had up there was from Revelation. Jesus says, look, I am making everything new. And we took that as just a, that was our verse for that whole week. And that could be a theme verse for this church. Look, I am making everything new. The other group that we have here, Spread Truth Missions, we had a small team of people that went to New York City and spent a week on the streets of New York telling people about Jesus and working in I think this was in a small church, and they were also having Vacation Bible School, weren't they?
It's Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Brooklyn Tabernacle, a very large church. You can't tell from the pictures,
yeah.
But okay. I'll go to that one in just a second. But Dean, you want to go and mention the third one, the work that we did down in the third ward?
Oh yes, there was a day called Big Day of Serving where we went down to the third ward, and did a day of construction and painting with about a couple hundred other people from all over Houston. Yeah,
I know there were some good pictures from that.
There were, but yeah,
we couldn't get them.
Yeah,
so. I wanted to put this one in here as well. This one's from a little bit beyond. I mean, take a look at the chairs that you're sitting in right now. These chairs were donated from another church, and there were actually about twice as many as you see here. They were completely refurbishing their sanctuary, and so they said, "You want some chairs?" And we got a lot of chairs. So these chairs that you see here. Really all that we needed at the moment. We had about 100 more chairs out in the trailer that you can see if you go out and look out the back door. I have a friend that is at Cypress Bible Church. It's actually Cypress Bible Fellowship. I thought I corrected that. But they were moving into a building about the same time we were, and they said, you know, we don't have nearly enough chairs. And I said, God's got something for that. And so we talked with them, we found out what their need was, and we went over and donated half of the chairs that were donated to us. And it's amazing how God has just used us and other churches to work on growing His kingdom. It really is amazing. Okay, we are up to the building that we're in now. And you know, we had been praying that God would give us a spot that we could essentially call our permanent residence, and we wouldn't have to be unloading the trailer, setting up, taking down, reloading the trailer every Sunday. And He provided this land, even though when we started looking, we looked at this place and we thought, nah, not the right place. And then so we started looking around at other places, and then this came back up on the radar screen, and it's like, wait a minute, why does this building here keep coming up? God keeps putting this in front of us. And so we started working with Dave Ross and investigating, you know, what might be able to be done here. And it turns out this building makes a pretty darn good church. So as you see here, the construction, again, some familiar faces. But when we started, this building was a warehouse and residence, and we had to essentially take the entire insides out and rebuild it so that we could use it as a church. And a lot of deconstruction. The picture in the upper left, Kaylee mentioned this to me last night. She said, you know, Dad, I remember people coming and writing verses on the studs that are in the walls of this church. So as you walk around, as you walk down toward the kids' wing, you walk to the kitchen, wherever you go, think about the fact that this place is just saturated in God's Word. There's God's Word in the walls. We had a lot of work to be able to make it a church. There's a couple of Eagle Scout projects that were done, including one to paint the whole children's wing. And then there was another one to do the work on the fence out back and build the picnic tables that we've got out back, and put in all the mulch and everything. You know, just a lot of work had to go in to this, but what an amazing labor of love this was. And you know, just the way people came out here working, you know, they weren't working for Creekside Church as much as they were working for the Lord to make His fame great in this area. And then we were able to move in. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We did not labor in vain. The Lord built this place. And that was our first worship service, and I believe our first potluck after the worship service. So amazing how God has led us. And I can't pass back to Dean without making a mention of what happens in here in this building every Sunday, week in and week out. Even when we were back at the school, we had superheroes in red capes that worked in the back and provided a worship experience for the children, just like we have the opportunity to worship up here. And so the red capes was back at Tom Cox. The photo that you see in the lower right was last week. So amazing the work that God is doing, even in the children's program here at the building. And then we moved into this building. We were here less than a year. And what happened? Dean?
And just let me add, no one prays for a building more than people who are setting up and tearing down every week. it's truth. At the same time, our determination was the building will not be the vision. If building is the vision, then once you have the building, what do you do next? So people were up here sweating and laboring for the building, but we were just determined that the building couldn't be the vision, and we had ministry to do where God had planted us. And then I still remember the Friday night before Hurricane Harvey, we posted on Facebook, "Don't worry, folks, there will be church Sunday morning." It's not going to be anything but a little rain. We were wrong. Anyway, sure. You got it? Yeah, so that's the little rain we had. And when I showed up here, Tartan was already out in a canoe going up and down the streets, and it was getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and rescuing people. And there are people in here right now who are here because we met during a hurricane. As a matter of fact, I met Rodney Sanders in the middle of the street, two blocks away. I had no idea who this guy was, but I heard he could barbecue. I was like, really? People are donating meat. Why don't you come to Creekside and cook some meat? So he showed up and cooked. Good to meet you. So, Leslie here was just driving down the road, and I had been around this neighborhood 50 times on feet. I was exhausted and sweaty and stinky, and she pulled up, and I was just like, will you please give me a ride? She was like, sure. But she was looking for a place to serve. She was looking for a place to help. I've got just the place for you if you'll just give me a ride. So on and on we could go with the stories of this. But as you see in that picture, that was an amazing moment because that was as far as the water got. And there was just this night where we thought we're going to have to re-evacuate everyone. But this is what happened. And I can't say you can plan for a hurricane because you can't. But once the ball started rolling, the Lord just brought everything together. That's the sanctuary you're sitting in. That's where people were sleeping. There were animals, cats, dogs, rabbits. anybody you remember those little National Geographic moments happening out in the foyer? Yeah, it was cots, blow-up mattresses, food, clothing, on and on and on and on it went. Just what the Lord did, and we didn't have church for a couple of weeks because there were people living here, and it was just an amazing thing to see the people of God come together. And not only that, but it became a launching pad, because what happened is all the community around wondered, where can we go to serve? And somebody came that knew everybody, and she made a video of me just talking, and then the next morning she came in and said, hey, 5,000 people watched your video. And the next thing I know, the parking lot's full and everybody in the neighborhood wants to help. And you can see the clothing and the food and just the, every day there would be a big meal outside for all the volunteers in the area would come and eat. It really was the headquarters for all the activity happening around here. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And even people coming to find a place to charge their phones or drink a cup of coffee. Amazing thing. So another moment where I mentioned in the beginning where opportunity is thrust upon you, and you meet the opportunity. And it's easy to miss lots of other things. You can see the debris, wheelbarrows everywhere. The gentleman right there who, on the bottom right, who refused help all week and finally said, okay, I gotta have some help. and we were able to go help him. He was a wonderful, sweet man, and he's in Colorado now. Nice and cool there. So, but there was lots of other things happening along the way. You think of Operation Christmas Child. How many hundreds of boxes have we sent all over the world? You think of PACN baby bottles, thousands of dollars that we've sent. Tartan was telling me over a dozen Compassion children have been adopted through this church. And you can't forget just daily, weekly faithfulness that this church has displayed. Every week, the people who show hospitality, who make coffee, who greet at the doors, who serve the children, who come in when no one else is here and clean the building, scrub toilets, empty garbage, happens just worship practice that used to meet in our living room because it was the only place to meet, and that now takes place here, Bible studies, small group leaders, just weekly faithfulness that happens. And so all of that comes together with, and I think there's been some really amazing change of heart, even in the elders here over the last 6 or 7 years, that the vision has never been how big can we get. If you ask every small church, if they're honest, the thought pattern is, well, if the Lord blesses, we'll be like that church over there. That's bigger than us, right? If the Lord blesses, that's what we'll be when we grow up or when we turn out, if we turn out okay. But that wasn't the idea. Tartan said the idea wasn't always to be a huge oak tree. Every tree is different, has its different purposes. The idea here was not how good a show can we put on, how can we help start other churches? How can we reach our neighborhood? How can we start other churches? Particularly cross-culturally, but even cross-culturally locally. And we were sitting in our elder meeting talking about Kenya one night, and we were leaving, and Tartan looked at me and said, all those times Jeff has talked about planning another church, did we know that it would be Kenya? I didn't. Yes, I did not. And I was going to have some numbers prepared today, but I don't. But within a five-mile radius of this church, there are thousands of people who were born in Hindu countries. There are thousands of people who were born in Buddhist countries, Islamic countries, Shinto countries. People who were born in countries where they did not readily hear the gospel, and the opportunities to continue to reach out cross-culturally are here. So that leads us to where we are now. Oh, there's a Kenya. Is there a Kenya picture? Let's show a Kenya picture. And if you look in the top, that is last Wednesday night. They gathered in someone's home for prayer. And as you can see in Kenya, there's a chance people will get down on their knees on their faces to pray. And they are praying for the Lord to help them and for the Lord to reach people with the gospel. And on the bottom left, that's the hilltop where the future Hilltop Bible Church will meet. And on the bottom right, that is Kennedy Omondi, his wife Linser, and his little girls, Jemima and Sally. He will be the future pastor there. Is there one more picture?
There is.
This is this morning.
Oh, wow.
Kennedy sent Tartan and I a picture this morning and said, we met this morning on top of the hill. We have no building. We have some plastic chairs. And Jeff?
Just wanted to make a brief comment that my ministry was faced on penetrating Islamic countries from the north. Kenya is strategically located to penetrate Muslim countries from the south.
Yes, that's right. So if you go north of Kenya, Muslim countries. And so here they are, gathered this morning. 10 of them got on top of the hill. Weather only allowed them to meet for 30 minutes. But when the weather clears, they're all going to go out and knock on doors and invite people to come to church next week and share the gospel. And so that's Creekside Hilltop Bible Church on their Sunday morning on top of the hill. They met last week. I think there were 5 of them, so they doubled in 1 week. Not bad. Though I will say my favorite part of the picture is those really cool orange Crocs the guy in the front is wearing. And so those are sweet, aren't they? Anyway, isn't that beautiful? That's just a beautiful thing to me. And look at the country, how far you can see. So there's our first one, and it won't be our last. I'm not a prophet nor the son of their prophet, but I'm just going to go ahead. Purple Crocs. Did I say purple Crocs? Yes, purple Crocs. So anyway, purple Crocs. Did I say orange? I saw the orange shirt and said orange. Okay. So there we are. What's next? Is that it? We're now at our present-day hurdle. And in about 10 minutes, there will be a revolt in the back, a coup by the children. But we don't want to rush through this too quickly. So fire away, whoever's doing this part. Yeah.
All right. Well, I will kind of take the lead, I guess. And David has done a lot of the the numbers work, and I think you've got a microphone someplace. You've got a microphone. Great. So we'll tag team on this. Wanted to look back, and I know that this chart is worse than an eye chart because you can't read stuff that's written on it, but I'll explain it to you. This was looking back at last year, so our fiscal year from July 2018 to June 2019, and kind of where did the money go? As it, I guess that'd be a good way to say it. Our average monthly expense was $17,000. That's for a church. That's really not a lot to be able to do everything that you need to do. But that's that was what our monthly expense was. If you look at the picture, the pie chart, I'm going to start with the dark blue slice that's at about 1 o'clock, I think. That represents the operations of the church. So that represents, what does it take to keep the lights on, keep the air conditioning on? What does it take to get the trash picked up on a weekly basis, have water so we can make coffee? That's always important. So operational expense accounted for, I want to say it's about 8% of our overall budget. Moving counterclockwise, the big green slice that you see on there is about 30-ish percent of the monthly budget, and that represents the payment for the building. The way that the building was purchased is through a bond issue, and a lot of the people that purchased those bonds, some of them are actually sitting in this room. So essentially, we were lending ourselves money so that we could purchase the building and then paying ourselves back. But that green wedge there represents the bond payments in the amount of, for the last budget cycle, it was about $66,000. The gray slice immediately to the south of that, taking up about half the pie, represents our staff expenses. And when you say, well, what staff does Creekside have? We have a pastor, we have a worship leader, we have a financial person that helps us to see the numbers that we're looking at here, and right now that's it. Some of the expenses last year also included some admin staff. So we had Lauren Vickers was admin for a while, then Karis Wood was admin for a while. We've gone to a completely volunteer position now with several wonderful souls helping us keep the bulletins printed on a week-to-week basis. Really, we just have the three staff at the moment. And then the other pieces up there, the other two flavors of blue, darker, lighter blue is church ministries. So think about the children's ministry and outreach and things like that. The lighter blue is missions. It says actually missions and honorarium, but the bulk of it is missions that we support PACN, we support Kennedy in Kenya, we support East West. So those type of things fit into that light blue slice. So that's how Creekside spends its money. Now, this is a look back again at the last year and the average monthly giving. So what's the income that Creekside has had has been for averaging $14,500. And just put a little Pac-Man on top of the pie. Pac-Man and pie. I think, Dean, you mentioned we should have some pie and we should be able to eat some pie after the service. But anyway, so the little orange Pac-Man shows how much of our expenses does the income cover. Now you might be going, well, how were we able to spend more than we had coming in? And we had a reserve in the bank of about $50,000 that we have been using to make up the difference. Where we're at right now, We're right about 10,000, I think, on the reserve. So the reserve is almost spent. And what that means is, based on just these numbers, there is a gap, which is the little red arrow that you see there. And what, you know, if we were to balance the budget, what would be at risk? Well, we have to keep paying for the building, we have to keep the lights on, and we want to keep paying our staff. They depend on the income that they get from that. Some of the staff expenses would be uncovered based on the current giving. All of the missions and all of the ministry is potentially at risk. Now, does that mean that the elders are going to cut all the missions and all the ministry and cut salaries for the staff? If we were a secular business, that is likely what we would do. But we have experience. We've just gone through a bunch of slides that showed how has God worked in this church. And we know that God is not shocked by this. He's not sitting up in heaven going, oh my goodness, how am I going to help Creekside next week? God's got this. But we as God's people need to understand what it takes to be able to do the work that God has called us to do here. And so that's why we wanted to share this. I said you were going to jump in at various points, and as usual, I've done all the talking. So, David, go ahead.
No, you're good. I think, you know, one of the purposes when we were talking about how to present this, we wanted to go back through the history for the very reason that we've gone through a whole lot of very difficult times in the past, right? But God has been faithful to move us through each one of these. And as we present this to you, we want to remind everyone here that the faithfulness of God sees this way before we did, right? Way before any of this came about. And it is at His pleasure to open up the storehouses and give to us and do things for us that will correct, you know, kind of this situation that we've got. But the big thing was to remind everyone here that, you know, that we're full of faith and that we believe that God is going to come through and do miraculous things. But what we need from you is really to look at this and know that there's an issue, first of all, and that we need your prayers and we need your support from that perspective to pray and say, you know, what is it here at Creekside that God is leading me to do in the next 6 months? Sometimes, you know, these things come across as we're asking everybody to give, and that's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is there is a problem, and we need everyone praying about what next and where to go next and what we can do. That this group of elders would have wisdom to make good, sound decisions in line with what God wants us to do, first of all. And that secondly, that He would bring in the resources that we need. You know, there's just things here that we need from Him in order to correct some of the situations and to execute on the vision that we really see as being the next steps about what we want to do. And this is just it's hampering the execution of that vision at the moment.
The two lighter shades of blue that's the area that we want to grow.
That's right.
We absolutely want that to be what Creekside's about. The rest is just you know, just what it takes to keep the lights on. But the missions and the ministry and the outreach and, you know, both here within this congregation, within our community, and to the ends of the earth is where we feel like God is leading Creekside, and we want passionate people to be partnering with us to do what God is calling us to do. And so, you know, that to me is another area for prayer. You know, who does God have out there that is passionate, that needs to be part of the work that He is doing here at Creekside? So, Dean?
Yes, so the blue is where the vision happens, and we want that to be the biggest slice of the pie. Now, we two things that we want to emphasize this morning. Number one, the men sitting in front of you right now are not the lead worriers. of Creekside Bible Church. We're not leading the way with anxiety. We believe what we say. Number two, and we've emphasized this as well in our meetings, we believe that giving, your giving, is part of your discipleship. And so you give as Jesus leads you to give. But the one thing we say is that we do not shepherd beasts of burden. We shepherd sheep. You guys are not mules to carry what we put on your back. You are sheep. And we don't see you as the ones just carrying a burden. That was what Jesus said to the Pharisees. You tie burdens on people's backs and you don't lift a finger to help them. That's not how we view you. We view you as sheep like we are. We're sheep too. And so just know that this comes with love, even as we ask the big ask. And we continue to have big vision, big goals, and we have to. So and then two last things, because we've got to sing before we go, even though time's way up. Story in 2 Chronicles 20 where all these people are coming to attack Israel, and they're the people that Israel had been kind to in the past, and so they're like, God, what's going on here? And there's a statement that says, we're not sure what to do, but our eyes are on God. And God says, okay, we'll do this. I'll tell you what to do, and then I'll fight the battle for you. Just show up, and I'll fight the battle. And the scene is that they all go out, and they pick a choir. And I don't know if they just picked the people they could sing or they picked the people they had enough robes for. But it says they dressed them up real nice. I'll let you guess. But anyway, and they literally went out to the battlefield and sang. And while they were singing, God defeated their enemies. So we got to sing before we leave. Did you have plans for which song it would be? Rejoice? Excellent choice. So... while we were singing it, I was like, oh, we got to close with this. So can we do that? We can. Thank you. And lastly, this is what's cool. 5 years from now, we're going to have a morning like this. And this will be part of the story. And the blue part of the pie will be bigger. That's just what we believe. So yes, amen. Amen to that. So let's pray and let's sing. If the worship team wants to be coming up, God, you're good. We just read last week here in the midst of these people, Psalm 34. We've seen young lions lack and suffer hunger, but I've never seen those who fear the Lord lack anything. And so we trust you to take care of all our needs. We are a worshiping people because you are a providing, good, gracious, amazing God. And so we just want to end our morning rejoicing, Lord. You own, as your word says, the cattle on a thousand hills, but you own everything. Every square inch belongs to you. We have bank accounts with our names on them, but we know we're stewards. We're just taking care of your stuff, Lord. And so we give as you lead us to, and there's no heavy hand coming down here today. We're not putting a big burden on anyone's back, but we're simply asking you to guide your people to give as you lead. But not only that, we always are on the lookout for the people we're praying for. We're always on the lookout for people to share the gospel with. We're not here to make a big name for Creekside Bible Church. We're here to make much of the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we look forward to the day when this is just another huge obstacle that you help us overcome. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.